somebody's neck, shake somebody's hand, kiss them on the cheek if you're kin to them, and you can be seated this morning. Amen, amen. Hey, put your hands together for Stephen and Joel and all their crew. Man. And our band coming and hanging out with us in little old Anson, Texas, and worshiping the Lord. So good morning. Welcome to Bethel, man. We are glad that you're here today. It's good to be here with you and hang out with you to worship the Lord and to hear from the Word of God. And so this week we are continuing our series. We've been talking about our home sweet church home. We've been talking about our church home and how our church home should matter. Our church home, the church matters to Jesus. How many of you know Jesus died for the church? How many of you know Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? Church is important to God. Church is important to Jesus. And look at me, look. Church should be important to you and I. There will never, ever be a perfect church. There will never, ever be a church that you agree with everything that takes place. But you know what? Church is important to you and I. As born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we need a place where we can come and say, I'm dedicating this part of my week to the Lord. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to focus on God for that part of the week. There should be a place. It's important for you and I to go, you know what? Everywhere else is messed up and everywhere else is jacked up in darkness, but I'm coming to be around like believers because the presence of God is there. I need my church home. Can I hear a good amen? And you need your church home. We need to come together. We talked about last week how there's different flavors of churches. There's different flavors. There's like the Baptist flavor, if that even has a flavor. Come on, y'all. There's like the Methodist flavor, the Church of Christ. There's the Catholic flavor, and then there's the Pentecostal. There's just the old West Texas common country boy and girl kind of church. It's a flavor. You got to pick a flavor that you like. You got to pick a flavor where God speaks to you and where you feel comfortable and where God changes your life, and it's our church. How many of you know, as I look at our world, and I ain't trying to be negative, how many of you know our world's going to hell in a handbasket, y'all? Like our government? Jeez Louise, Lord Jesus, help us out. Our education system, help us out. I mean, like our world is jacked. And here's what I see. When stuff goes wrong with people in the world, do you know where they turn first seeking help? To the church. You find someone that's a non-believer. You find someone that doesn't go to church. You find someone that says they're an atheist. And as soon as one of their family members died, they run to the church and say, can you host a funeral for us and let the preachers speak over our lives? As soon as a non-believer, or there's an atheist, someone who gets a diagnosis of your loved one has cancer, who do they call? They call the church and they say, please put my loved one on the prayer list. All of a sudden they believe church is powerful. Church is important, and you and I should not take our church home for granted. There's no perfect church. If you find a church that you love, if you find a church that you just kind of like, if you find a church that has a really handsome and wise preacher, then you ought to attend that church. Attend that church and quit griping and quit complaining and quit figuring out what they don't do wrong and what would be better if they did this, and be a part of that church and support that church and pray for that church and serve so that church can be better and reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. We've been talking about our church home, how it matters. Can I tell you what one of the greatest things we're going to talk about today? What a good, healthy, blood-bought, spirit-filled, Bible-preaching church. You know what they should do? They should push the congregants of that church, push them to action. Push them to action. Okay, I'm glad you're here. Okay, I'm glad you say you have faith. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. And you know what? At some point you come to church because you're hurting. At some point you come to church because you're broken and you need something, and then God will supply all of our needs. And when God meets our needs, the next step is this, that now what God has done in me, I am going to allow God to do through me. And what God has done in your life should move beyond the pews of your church. Oh, y'all got quiet, didn't you? what God has done in you should move beyond the walls of this church. You and I should take the gospel. A good home sweet church home should inspire, encourage, and empower you to take the good news to a dark and a hurting world. You want to see revival? How many know our country needs revival? Can I hear a good amen? It needs revival. We need revival. We need revival. Can I tell you? It is not going to be a political party that is going to bring revival to America. It is not going to be the mega churches that bring revival to America. It is not, and God bless your heart if you think Donald Trump and his new Trump Bible is going to bring revival to America. Can I tell you what will bring revival to America? When common and ordinary grassroots people like you and me make up our mind that, you know what, I am going to share. I'm going to go to my family. I'm going to go to my coworkers. I'm going to go to the cowboys. I'm going to go to the school teachers. When you and I make up our mind that our faith cannot be contained to the walls of the church house, when we go out and share the good news of Jesus, it'll bring revival to our country. Starting at a grassroots organic level, it will go from the bottom all the way to the top and catch fire. Tubby, I know. Whoo, I'm spitting and I'm running out of air, but I can't help it. This excites me. Home Sweet Home inspires you, encourages you to go and do, to go and share. We've talked the previous weeks about Easter. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus' followers go to Jerusalem. They go to the upper room. They're praying. They're waiting. The Holy Spirit falls. Peter comes out. He preaches this message. 5,000 people get saved. The church, as you and I know it, is birthed. What happens next? I find a home sweet church home. What happens next? Let's look to the Word of God and see what happened next in the Bible. Because the Bible is a pretty good pattern for you and I to follow after. Can I hear a good amen? Acts chapter 3, you got your Bible, you got your phone, you got your iPad, whatever. It'll be on the screen, Acts chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, 5,000 saved. Acts chapter 2, the church is birthed. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. Now, Peter and John, just two friends, they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And there was a man lame from birth, and he was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that was called Beautiful, and he's laid there to ask for money to everybody that was coming to church. That's pretty clever. Can I hear a good amen? Take the crippled, disabled guy and lay him at the door of the church so that when everybody come into church with a good heart and he asks for money, they have to be obligated to give it to him. You know what I'm saying? Peter and John get there. They see the man laying there. Verse 3. He sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asked for some money. Peter directed his gaze. Peter looked at him, and so did John. And they said, look at us. And the crippled man fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and I have no gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, the man stood and began to walk. He went into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who was crippled. They recognized him as the one that was messed up. They recognized him. He's the one that was disabled. They recognized him as he's the one that's going through the divorce. They recognized him as the one whose life was a mess but had been changed and restored by the power of Jesus Christ. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter and John, after Pentecost, they have church. What do they do next? They take the power of God to the streets. They go, we've been in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit has fallen, and fire, and cloven tongues, and people are getting saved, but we can't have church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can't live in this little religious spiritual bubble. What God has done inside of us, now we're going to take it out to the streets. Peter and John go to the streets. They were motivated to share the good news outside of the walls. They were motivated with this life-changing message. They wanted to share it. If we really believe Jesus is coming back someday. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Can I hear a good amen? I told you before, I'm no student of prophecy, and I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I do know this, we are one day closer than we've ever been to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if we believe the good news and we have a heart like Jesus had towards hurting and lost people, then you know what? It's time for you and I to put some action behind our faith. It's time for you and I to go. Peter and John, had passion. Peter and John were on a mission. They had purpose. They had boldness. They just wanted to share the good news. Now, I've been preaching for quite a while in Anson, Texas, and I've been trying my best for all those years to motivate people to share their faith outside of church. I've been motivated. I've been working hard trying to get you to. And the fact of the matter is this, can I be real with y'all? Can I be real with y'all? Can I be real with y'all? A lot of y'all ain't never said the word of Jesus outside of the church because you're scared to death about it. Because the enemy has told you you're not good enough, and the enemy has smothered out the fire. We're afraid to talk about the Lord outside of church. We say, people say to me all the time, Cody, I just don't know the Word of God as good as you do. Cody, I just don't know what to say. Well, you don't know nothing about the weather either, fool, but you talk about the weather. Look, you got to have this motivation. You got to have this fire. You got to have something. If God has really done something inside of us, it's like a fire that we can't contain. Look at these two guys. Cody, I'm not good enough. Cody, I'm not smart enough. Look at Peter and John. Can I tell you something right quick? They never went to ministry school. They never went to seminary. They didn't sign up for evangelism classes at the church. They didn't even sign up to go on a mission trip with the church over to Argentina. They just had something happen supernatural inside of them, and they went. They said this, Jesus' words mattered to them. God help the church of Jesus Christ in America. When the words of our God begin to mean something to us once again, when the words of Jesus Christ give us a little bit of heaviness and a sense of responsibility, we need to go back. And when the Word of God motivates us, the Word of God, these two guys, Peter and John, they said, we remember what Jesus said. We remember what Jesus said. Mark 28, verse 19 and 20. Mark 28, verse 19 and 20. The words of Jesus to Peter and John. Jesus said, go. Everybody shout, go. No, no, say it again. Say, go. Jesus said to his followers. Jesus said to his believers, go. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them what I've commanded you to do. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Go make disciples. Go encourage people. Go help them in their marriage. Go help them in raising their children. Go help them in their singleness. He said, go help others and teach them the ways of God. Go. And listen to me. I love church. But he didn't say, go invite them to the church so that the preacher of the church can then instruct them and command them how to do. He said, you go. Mark 16, 15. Let's say it again. So here's another one. One of my favorite all-time scripture. When I first started preaching 25 years ago, I had me some business cards made up. It said, Cody Cochran, full gospel evangelist, is what it said on there. Guess what scripture it had on it? Mark 16, 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and just proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Just go share the good news. Go share what God has done in you. Here's what I want you to see. Peter and John, common men like you and me. I want you to see that it wasn't that hard for them to share their faith. We think it's hard, but if we're washed in the blood and we're living in the Spirit of God and we trust the Word of God says that God has gone before us and He has prepared the way. And Peter and John were just walking, living life with intentionality, looking for an opportunity to share the good news, and God had already been before them, laid a crippled man in their way, and prepared his heart to receive what they had to say that day. Can I tell you, God does the same for you and I. There's people in your life. Look at me. Look. There's people in your life that are hurting and crippled and disabled and broken and divorced and depressed and full of anxiety, and they've lost hope, and they are not in your life by accident. They are in your life because the steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord, and God has placed them in your life. And at the moment that you have the courage and boldness to share the good news, their lives will be changed because you're motivated to share the gospel. Oh, Lord, it's going to be a long morning, I can tell already. It really wasn't that hard when they got there. God set it up. Can I tell you, you will be amazed at the opportunities that you will have if we will just live our life with intentionality to share the good news. With purpose. What's your purpose in life? What's my purpose in life? I'm a preacher. But that ain't my purpose, that's what I do. My purpose is to shine the light as a born-again believer and a child of Almighty God. Cowboy? No. That's just an occupation. Car salesman? Just an occupation. Our purpose in life is to represent God the Father to a dark and a hurting world. That's absolutely it. You'll be amazed at the opportunities you'll have. I'm amazed. Like, can I just say this? We're at Bethel in Anson. You know what? You know how Bethel started out? Me and Tubby. That's it. Making up our minds. God been good to us. We don't know it. We don't understand it. We ain't never done church before, but we're going to walk this thing out together side by side, and we're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Look what the Lord has done. Peter and John, two guys, they don't know. They ain't got it figured out. They ain't been to school, but it's two guys. So I'm going to walk it out every day, and I'm going to share the good news. Revival broke out. Just wonder what would happen if we got together with our friends and our like believers and said we're going to share the good news. I am blown away. I'll just testify. I'm blown away. I got a couple of buddies. We call us the pals, just cowboys. We all are screwy and messed up and don't get it right. But Nathan and Jake, and we get to go and share our faith and opportunities. And I'm just saying, we just go punch cows now with intentionality. It ain't about pride, and it ain't about who's got the most pointed hat and the best horse and who can drag calves the best. We just go where we go to these ranches around these other cowboys. And a lot of these cowboys, they're not coming to church, and they ain't never been to church because they don't like church, and church is phony and fake. But we now go with intentionality to say, you know what? We're here to shine the light of Jesus Christ. You would be amazed at the opportunities and the conversations that we've had, and the cowboys' that's lives have been changed simply because a couple of people said, I'm going to walk my life out with the intentionality of glorifying God and sharing the good news. You should, yeah, you really. This right here, what the message I'm telling you today, this is when the church becomes the church. This is when we get down. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is when we get down to the nut cutting, y'all. This is the real deal. It's what we're created to do. Let's be honest about something. How many of you know sometimes church folk get a bad rap in America? You know why we get a bad rap? Because we're deep on talk and shallow on action. We're deep on talk and praising and showing up to church, but we're shallow when it comes time to putting action and sharing the good news and showing grace and mercy. I love church. You know I love church and all the preaching, praying, prayer, meeting, scripture, quoting, tongue talking, hymn singing. It's not going to do any good until it motivates us in here to go out there and shine the light. It's what you're called to do. Did you know there are 160 hours in a week? 168 hours in a week. 168 hours in a week. There are 10,080 minutes in a week. And you and I today are faced with this question. If we give God 1 hour on Sunday morning, what are we doing the other 167 hours of that week to bring glory to God and shine the light? If we give God 60 minutes on Sunday morning, what are we doing the other 10,020 minutes throughout the rest of the week to share the good news and build the kingdom of God? It's where, listen, we got to go. We got to share. Just be you. Just be real. Just be honest. You don't have to know the scripture. Don't browbeat people over the head with the Bible and tell them how they're doing wrong. Just love them right where they are. Come on, somebody. Get over yourself and your self-righteous self. You're religious and you're better than and you're holier than thou. The only difference in me and the vilest of sinners is one decision to accept the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am no better than anybody else and you're no better than anybody else. And the only chance we all have is the blood of Jesus Christ. Love people where they are. Meet them where they are. Can I just say something right quick? Evangelism in America, we get weird and freaky and goofy. Come on, somebody. You want to be a real evangelist? Then knock off the King James Version of the Bible talk when you talk to people. Don't go out to people in the middle of the world and say, oh, well, let me tell you, brother, the Spirit of God moved on me, and I got a word for you. The Lord, give me a word for you. Stop! There's a room for preachings and prophets, and that'll happen in the church. You know what you need to do? Just be real and be you and meet people where they are and be honest. Talk about the Lord. Here's the deal. I got to hurry. Now, when you go do this today, hopefully some of you will be motivated. I'm going to go share the good news. Well, can I tell you something? It won't always happen like it did for Peter and John. People won't always get healed. I have anointed people in the hospital and prayed for them, and they got healed and came out of the hospital different. But I've anointed people and prayed for them, and they died in the hospital as well. It's not my job or your job to figure out the outcome. It's my job and your job to be obedient to God and shine the light no matter what. It's not always going to work the way you want it to work. People are not always going to receive you. Sometimes you're going to be rejected. Sometimes you're going to get hurt and go through pain and sorrow. And I tell you that because if you leave here fired up to share the good news and you share it and it don't work and you get mad and pouty and quit, then I've not done a good job in teaching you and training you. Sometimes you got to suck it up, buttercup. You got to keep going. Let me tell you a story about a guy named Paul. He's a great apostle, man. He gave his entire life sharing the good news. That's what he did. In Acts 27, Paul's on this ship. He's on a ship, and all he wants to do is get to Rome. He wants to go to Rome to share the good news. He wants to go plant churches. He wants to tell people about Jesus. He's on this ship, and while he's on the way to Rome, in the middle of the sea, this storm hits. Storm of all storms. For days, there is no sunshine. For days, there is no moon. It is cloud-covered, rain-filled thunder. Lightning, the boat is being beaten to pieces. They have nothing to eat. They're about to starve completely down. And the ship, now next thing you know, the ship starts falling apart. This is falling off. The sails are gone. The hoist is gone. The wood is falling off. It's a mess. Their all hope is absolutely lost. Finally, as the boat begins to fall apart and little pieces of wood fall off, Paul jumps off and he grabs a hold of a piece of wood that floats and he paddles to shore. Him and all of his people, they make it to shore. It ain't good and it ain't glamorous and they barely made it, but they made it to shore. And they land on this island called Malta. They land on this island called Malta. And what does Paul do in this moment? Paul says, I'm going to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to love people where they are. Here's what Paul does not do. He does not feel sorry for himself. He does not have a pity party. He does not ask God, why did my boat fall apart? Why have I been hungry? Why did I get the diagnosis of cancer? Why am I struggling with money? Paul didn't say any of that. Paul said, okay. This is where I am, and where I am does not dictate who I am, and who I am is a child of God, and I'm going to shine the light on the island of Malta. Ooh, Lord Jesus. He gets there, and it's raining, it's cold. They've built a fire to try to stay warm. Paul says, I'm going to get me some sticks, and I'm going to help everybody. I'm going to help keep the fire going. And as he reaches down and picks up a bundle of sticks and throws into the fire, what? A snake jumps out of the bundle of wood and bites him on the hand. And it hangs on his hand. I mean, come on. Can this guy, Paul, can he just get some sort of break? Nothing is going good for him. And he's giving his life. Can he just get a break? What does Paul do? What does Paul do in this moment? What are you and I going to do when things don't go our way? Let's read the scripture. Acts 28, verse 5 and 6. Acts 28, 5 and 6. The viper is hanging off of his hand. Fangs hung in his hand. Acts 28, 5 and 6. Paul, however, shook off the creature into the fire, and he suffered no harm. They were all waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down. But when he had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their mind and said, this guy must be a god. Can I tell you something right quick? Paul was not a god, but he did have a God that lived inside of him, and he did have a God that said, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, and he did serve a God that would protect and provide no matter what's going on. Paul shook it off. Shook it off. I wonder how many of us have been hurt in our faith journey. I wonder how many of us things have gone wrong. I wonder how many of us our prayers didn't get absolutely answered. You and I can learn from the Apostle Paul to just shake it off and feel no harm. You know what would happen to you and I if you got bit by a snake today? You know what would happen to you and I if we were trying to serve God and we were on the middle of a shipwreck? We would post on social media, look how poor I am, I have not eaten in 12 days. We would take pictures of the nighttime sky and the lightning and say, please pray for me, my life is just horrible right now. If we got bit by a snake, we would have selfies with it hanging from our hand. Paul said, no, I'm going to shake this thing off. Ain't nothing going to stop me from being a child of God. There's nothing going to stop me from proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that's going to stop me, not shipwreck, not starvation, and certainly not a little bite from a western diamondback rattlesnake. I'm just going to shake that sucker off, and it's time for you and I to shake off the fear that we've got. Some of us have fear of sharing our faith. It's time for you to shake off your fear. It's time for you and I to shake off our worry. It's time for you and I to shake off our anxiety and shake off our depression and shake off our insecurities and shake off our previous mistakes. It's time for us to shake everything off and say, I'm a child of God and I'm going to speak the name of Jesus wherever I go. It's a game changer, y'all. It's an absolute game changer. Here's what happened. 2 minutes and I'm done. Paul lands on the island of Malta. The chief of that tribe. The chief, he's the leader. The chief, the president of those people. His daddy was sick. The chief's daddy was dying. Medicine didn't work. Nothing worked. Sorry, Dr. E, chiropractic medicine didn't work. The chief's father was dying. And when they saw that Paul shook it off and how Paul reacted and how God moved in Paul's life, they said, Paul, would you go pray for our chief's father? And Paul said, sure will. And Paul went over there and he simply laid hands on the chief's father and prayed for him. And the Bible says the chief's father was healed and made whole. And because of that act and because of that answered prayer, revival broke out in that island. And many miracles, signs, and wonders were done. Revival broke out because one man, Paul, said, I am going to take my faith beyond the walls of the church. And no matter what kind of hell comes my way, I'm going to share Jesus and let him be glorified. What would happen if you and I were motivated, inspired to share our faith? And what if we shook off whatever's holding us down? Shook off. Oh. Stephen, y'all, please. Conrad, somebody. Will, Jesse, Jennifer. Somebody come play some music and help me out here. Home sweet church home. You know what a home sweet church home does? Motivates, encourages, pushes you, and inspires you to take your faith beyond the walls of the church. You want a little church that just appease your conscience, make you feel good, preach good to you, let you feel comfortable, but never push you, then that's fine. But that is not what a real church is all about. A church pushes us. It started with two people, Peter and John. Stephen and Joel are about to come up here, and we're so glad they're here. And Stephen shared earlier, they've been coming over here for 8 years. And Stephen shared how 39,000 people got saved on social media and how they've gotten to go everywhere. Just so cool what God has done in their life. Can I tell you where this, it all started right here with Stephen and Joel? Two dudes like Peter and John that said our faith is real to us. And we're going to go where we can go and use the talents and the gifts that God has given us. It started with two guys making up their mind, I'm going to share my faith. What can God do with you? I know. It's little old Lansing, Texas. Dirtiest town in Texas. Come on, somebody. I know it's Bethel Assembly. I know. What if you got it? What if I got it? What if it became real? What if we were motivated? What if we said, I'm going with intentionality? I'm sharing, I'm shouting, I'm lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Just talk about it. Can I tell you, say, Cody, I'm just uncomfortable with that. Well, tough titty. Get over it. There's a lot of things I'm uncomfortable about. Say, Cody, I've never spoke Jesus outside of the church. And I say, you know what? Start talking to your spouse about Jesus. Just say to your wife, hey, babe, God's been good to us. You know what? Really? Say, Tubby, we started this 26 years ago. We got these knuckleheads, and we got Clara. We got this. We got family. We got church. I mean, like, it all started with just going, I'm not letting my faith be confined to Sunday morning, to 1 hour into the church. We just started talking about Jesus. And our kids were grown. And, man, we got it wrong with our kids. Don't act like we think we got our, like, they're jacked, y'all. But you know what we did with our kids? We said, God's been good to us. God's going to be good to y'all, too. Let's serve God. Just started simple, man. And then Connor and I. God knows what we've been through, where the Lord's brought our relationship. Just common people. Going, I'm not going to be quiet anymore. I know. My nose is running. I'm sniffing. I can't help it. Sorry, y'all. There's nothing that will bring satisfaction to a born-again believer like taking your faith beyond here. If all your faith is right here, soon you will be stinky and stagnant and grippy and crusty and you will lose your joy. But if you take it out of here and you use it and flow and watch God move through you, it brings more satisfaction than anything. I'm done. Y'all looking at me like, Cody, please quit. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you and then I'm going to be done. We're going to close with a little bit of worship. If you're here today, honestly, don't just stand up, peer pressure. If you're here today and you go, you know what, Cody? I've been coming to church a long time. Cody, I serve at church. Cody, I sing at church. Cody, I play. Cody, I do this. Here's the question. Are you shining the light of Christ outside of this church? Are you sharing your faith? Just being honest and being real. And if you are, but you go, you know what? I need to do that more. And I want to do that more. I'm going to ask you to stand up today. And if you're here and you've never shared your faith, but you go, you know, I want to share my faith, I'm going to ask you to stand up and I'm going to pray for all of us to be able to share stronger and share better and stand more. So now, if that's you, stand on your feet right now. And I'm going to pray one prayer with all of you and then we're going to be done. Father, you are so good and you are so mighty and you have been so good to us. Lord, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. So we thank you for every person that's in this room and every person that can hear my voice right now, God. Lord, we just wayward people in this old wayward world trying to make it through. But God, we don't want to just fall into the American dream and we don't want to just fall in to showing up at church on Sunday. We don't want to fall into working 40 hours a week. God, we're your sons and daughters, God. We are your soldiers, God. We are your warriors. And so as you look down from heaven in little old Anson, Texas, and you see people today standing up saying, I'm ready to do more and I'm ready to give more. Lord, I pray that you would pour out the anointing of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would set us on fire the way you did Peter and John, that you would set us on fire the way you set me on fire 26 years ago, that you would spark something in us that we couldn't be comfortable, that we couldn't play any more church games, that we would shake off the pain, we would shake off the hurt, we would shake off the disappointment, we would shake off everything that's holding us back. And God, in this moment, we would leave here and we would go in an ordinary, in a common, in an organic, in a grassroots, real, authentic way, and we would share the good news of Jesus Christ. Speak to us, fill us, empower us. In Jesus' name we pray for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's close with the song of worship, church.